From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
And welcome back to Locked On Chiefs. We are back. Ryan is back from vacation. I am back from a short hiatus as well. I hope you guys enjoyed the crossover edition of Locked On Chiefs last week. I am Chris Clark from Chiefs Digest. He is Ryan Tracy from RGR Football. And we have a good show for you today. We have a little bit of stuff to catch up on. We're going to be talking about Chris Jones and his potential contract or free agency or franchise tag, training camp going back to St. Joe. And Eric Bieniemy is where we're going to kick it off. Really interesting story with the Colorado coaching job breaking late.
Yeah, you know, I usually try to get rid of my hiatus before I come online, but the interesting part is that there's an argument to be made just because Eric Bieniemy is a former Colorado Buffalo. If y'all don't remember him, Google Bieniemy championship game. You could see him hurdle a pile of Washington dogs. So I can understand the connection, but I think we both said on Twitter, because we had pre-recorded a number of shows before I left on vacation, I think we both had the same reaction, though, that this just isn't
make
he's
sense.
So close, right? He's so close to being a head coach in the NFL. I personally feel that going back down to college is a downgrade.
Well, it's a huge downgrade, and the bigger problem for him is I don't care what kind of job in Colorado he does next year. Recruitment is basically over for this year's college class. Colorado's not going to be a good team next year. If you go and take that coaching job in Colorado, you're likely there for 3 or 4 years just to get the program respectable into a national level where people are going to be looking at you for a head coaching gig in the NFL again, and maybe even longer than that if you can get Colorado to that level to begin with.
Yeah, and that's always a big if, because at the end of the day, you're placing your future and your performance on the backs of 18 to 22-year-olds. And I don't see any reason to risk doing that when you're so close to becoming a head coach. And I know a lot of folks are upset, like, that maybe it's his skin color that kept him from getting a job this cycle. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And I understand being frustrated with that, but jumping ship to college, even to be a head coach, doesn't solve the problem.
No, go ahead.
I think it gets done next year. I'm pretty confident in that. So I really think that this is too last minute.
Well, and I just look at it and say the biggest problem he is going to face is if he wants to try to go to college. I mean, he can do that if he wants to. It's certainly his own prerogative, although we're seeing reports now that it looks like he's going to pass on the Colorado job. But I still go back to the same thing I said before. Recruitment is over, and you're not going to have a program in Colorado that is going to be able to compete on a national stage next year or even the year after that. You're looking at least a 3-year rebuild, and recruiting is a completely different animal than running an NFL franchise where you have a GM that's taking care of, you know, getting players that you want for you.
Absolutely. And that's, again, put yourself in the position where you could be facing a losing record when you just came off of a Super Bowl win?
Yeah.
No, thank you. I personally wouldn't. I don't think Eric will. I said it from that day. He is a leader of men, and I think he's going to get his shot to do that with professional players of the highest order.
And I do think it's kind of funny. I read an article while we were both kind of on a little bit of a hiatus that talked about when he goes into interviews next year for a head coaching job, all those people are going to have to look across from him, and he's going to have bling on his finger, and they're going to have to look at that Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
They have to.
Yeah, and at the same time, like, the Colorado job is, again, one more good interview to have. But you're right. Having that on your finger walking in the door is a huge plus. I mean, that's what owners are looking for. They want to get to the top. Well, most of them want to get to the top of the heap. And having a guy who's been there really makes a huge difference, especially when he's somebody who hasn't been a head coach before. We saw this last cycle that a lot of guys, those jobs went to people with former head coaching positions. So I think that that's exactly what has to happen for him.
The one thing I will say, and the one thing he's going to have going against him, and I think it worked against him in this cycle, and I think it'll work against him in next cycle as well, is a lot of teams don't want to wait for a head coach to get out of the playoffs. And you have to wonder if that plays into it. So you know, it's going to be a question mark. I still think he gets a job next cycle, but at this point, I don't expect him to make any moves to the college ranks because he's just putting himself in a bad situation trying to go to college at this point. When we get back, we're going to get into a conversation about Chris Jones and what his future could be in Kansas City.
Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can improve your performance and have that extra confidence.
Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom.
Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package with no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com. You'll get your shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. That's promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
All right, so the franchise tag deadline is fast approaching.
Yeah, and I think it gets used. I think I've said that pretty much since training camp last year when he was still holding out. And Chris Jones, don't get me wrong, he battled a few injuries, put in a good year. But I don't think that he did anything to change what the team's perception of him was, is that he is an excellent and elite pass rushing interior defensive lineman, and he's okay against the run.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, it with the way he was able to play against the run, I will say this, though. He got better as the season went on, playing against the run, and I think he really improved in that factor. He was a huge reason that they were so successful against the Tennessee Titans when they were able to shut down Derrick Henry. He had a big part in that. So I think he did a lot better in run defense than he did early in the season, and I think it really is something that he was able to improve on this year and get better at as the season went on.
Yeah, I can get down with you on that one. And clearly, his Super Bowl performance was something they wouldn't have won without. But you go back to the fact that you had to have Mike Pinnell in order to stop the run. That tells you something. That's a direct replacement at your position. And that's still going to be the Achilles heel of this particular defense. Teams are still going to try to run in them. So,
well, and I
my
think
thought is, though, here's the rub. My thought is it's tag, and he probably plays it out. I think he signs it. And I don't think they're going to get the value they want for him. Do you think they try to trade him?
I think they do. I don't know if they're going to get what they really want for him, though. I think they're going to look for a return that's going to give them something like what Seattle got for Frank Clark. Honestly, if you look at Jones, I think he's well worth what Frank Clark was paid, what Kansas City paid to get Frank Clark. I think as an interior defensive lineman, I think he may be worth probably pretty close to, if not more than Frank Clark, just because you saw what Chris Jones was able to do. I'm not going to say he single-handedly won him that Super Bowl game, but without Chris Jones, they probably don't win because he had so many big plays down the stretch on defense where he either batted a ball or put a player in the way of the quarterback being able to see down the field, and that was really enough.
Yeah, and that makes the difference in leadership along that line. I disagree. I don't think that he's worth Frank Clark's particular contract. I don't feel it's consistent enough. I don't feel that it's injury free enough. I've heard people toss around the Aaron Donald reference, and that's a little bit drastic to me. I really don't see that as a valid comparison at all.
Well, to each his own. I will say I think that he was a lot closer to Aaron Donald before he got hurt, and he's been dealing with injuries the past 2 years. So that is going to definitely be a concern going forward. You look at what he has meant for this team, though, and really, the biggest thing, and I keep going back to this, you look at what he meant to the middle of that defense and what he was able to get done during the season when he was healthy. This defense was a lot better, and they played a lot better. They played as a unit. You're right. They are going to have to bring Mike Pinnell back if they want to be more successful against the run or find somebody to fit that mold and really help that defense in that area. But Chris Jones is a guy that's going to give you pass rush on the interior that you can get more than likely going and drafting somebody. So you're not going to be able to draft somebody to replace him. you're going to have a chance to try to replace him, but more than likely you're going to be replacing him with somebody that's maybe 70 to 80% at most of what he's going to be. And that's if they are a very good player their first year.
Yeah. And that's a fair point. My question to you, if they're seeking this trade and knowing those things are true, what kind of compensation are you as Brett Veach looking for? And do you think that they get there? What do you think the end result is?
Well, it's going to have to be somebody that has a lot of money because Chris Jones wants a lot of money. And, to me, like I said, I think he's worth it. I think he is. I don't think he's worth the Aaron Donald money, but I think he's worth underneath Aaron Donald money. And I do think he is worth a Frank Clark type contract if he can stay healthy. And that's the big question, because honestly, his first several years, he didn't have any issues staying healthy, but the past couple he has. So it's going to be a question mark going into this season, and it's possible that Kansas City is going to look at him and say, okay, maybe we're not going to trade you. Maybe we're going to franchise tag you and make you play it out. And if you stay healthy, then maybe you'll get a deal done the next year. Maybe that's the direction it goes. Honestly, if I'm Kansas City, I'm looking for at least a first and a third, if not more.
Yeah, that's kind of where I fall as well. Like when you compare, a lot of people comparing it to the Frank trade to twos. And I think explosively, because there's not as much depth across the league of elite interior linemen, I think you do get a first. I think that's a valid request, and I think a team is going to give that up, especially one, like you said, that has the money to pay him. They generally have more draft picks as well, and I know you're thinking about Miami, right? I am as well. I think they could do that.
Well, I think there's several teams. The question is who really has the need and who has the want to go get a guy like that?
Yeah.
Because you can't go out and get a Chris Jones, and Miami makes sense in some regards. But there's no reason to go get a Chris Jones, in my opinion, right now in Miami, unless you think you're going to be able to put the pieces in Miami to be successful and to have him be the future of your franchise that is going to be coming on in 2021 or 2022.
Yeah.
Because, right. Because I don't know that Miami's going to be there in or any earlier than 2 years, if not three. I mean, they are so far behind right now, and really you have to wonder what they're going to do with the QB position, which is the most important position, and they got to get that figured out.
Yeah, it's going to be a big offseason for them. I know Fitz said he would probably return, and I like Fitz. I like Fitz as a backup in Kansas City, too, if he doesn't go back there. But there's a couple of guys, and we could talk later in the week about who might fit as a backup quarterback for the Chiefs, because everybody's going to free agency now. This is a time to move on and talk about who's going to be here, who's not, who's got expiring contracts.
I'm glad you bring that up real quick, because I did see an article about this as well. When you start talking about free agent quarterbacks in Kansas City, to me, I think the smart money is to give Matt Moore a contract. If you can get him for, $2 million a year, I think you give him a $2 million a year contract because, I mean, you were paying him league minimum. I don't think you're going to be able to get him for league minimum after what he did for Kansas City this year, but maybe if you can pay him $2 million, you can keep him, and then you let Henny go.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there, too. And I think his performance, I think Andy knows he can win with him. And he didn't even have the good version of the defense. So I think you have to feel really good about him. The question is, does Matt want to play? And will he play for that amount? Because I agree, $2 million is great, maybe even three. But you go beyond that, and now you're talking Henny money, and that's prohibitive against what's coming for that particular position and what you have to do for your cap.
Yeah, and that's exactly the problem, is you're going to end up having to pay Mahomes, sometime soon, $30, $40 million somewhere in that ballpark. You're going to have to end up paying him that money. So it's going to be prohibitive paying a veteran that much money. But I think one of the things that you can do with Matt Moore is you can tell him, look, we understand you want to, consider not play. If you're going to consider retirement, go ahead, take some time off, go enjoy. We just need to know by the draft, are you going to be here or not? Because I think there's going to be a veteran that they could bring in to replace Matt Moore if they absolutely had to. I don't think they want to go that direction. I think they want to have somebody before free agency, but they have the ability to give him time to be able to do that.
And I got an interesting idea that we should talk about. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
I got an interesting idea that I think we should talk about here in another day or two about this position, but let's take a break. And folks, when we come back, we have to talk about where they're going to be. So another thing that broke that is newsworthy is that the Chiefs are going back to St. Joe.
Absolutely, and that's fantastic news. I'm really interested to see how long this partnership lasts. I didn't think it was going to, because the main reason Kansas City went to St. Joe to begin with, at least from the optics of it, was they got this huge tax credit. And, you know, obviously that's a big deal, and it made a lot of sense. But now you look at, they've been there for, you know, as long as they've been there, and the fans love it. The team really seems to like it. And I think Andy loves it there. I was just going to say, I don't really have any personal knowledge on that, but just the way that they run things. And I think Andy wants to be away from the stadium, and we haven't even touched the optics of how they would have training camp in Kansas City at Arrowhead, because they just don't have the facilities for it. Now, maybe they only did a 2-year deal, because it sounds like it goes through the next 2 years. Maybe they did a 2-year deal with them because they're thinking, okay, well, we can build something that will work for it. But I don't know. But I think Andy absolutely loves going away for camp, because it gets people away from distractions for a whole month, basically.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't want to go back to Wisconsin, I'll tell you that.
You would never make it.
No, I would have to. I mean, if there's going to be training camp, I'm going to be there for at least a weekend, you know, just like every year. And I know that would make it harder on both of us, but we will do it. But folks, it's not just ease. I mean, there's a vibe there. And I know at one point last year, after we had done some recording and stuff, we saw guys just foot racing about who's going to be the fastest guy in the parking lots. Like there's enough freedom there that I think that the team feels loose. And I think that looseness plays into everything that they did this season.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it also builds team chemistry when you're able to go away for camp and you're able to get to know your teammates for basically an entire month. I mean, I know it's not a full month, but you actually get to spend all that time with them. Yeah, you're in the building every day once you're drafted and once you're brought in for free agency. You're in the building every day. When you start talking about being with your other fellow teammates at night, every night, because, you know, you guys have been through an entire day, you've done dinner, and you go back to your room, maybe you're playing video games. You know, it's little things like that that build team chemistry. And that sounds silly, but that really does build a team. And that builds a core and a chemistry of players that are going to have a connection together, and that is going to come out on the playing field.
Yeah, and when you're talking about making comebacks like this team had to make in their postseason run, in their Super Bowl run, that's gold.
You can't. Well, and they trust each other.
Yeah, and I don't know that would have happened if it wasn't for that camaraderie and training camp.
It was never say die. I mean, they basically were in a situation where they were never willing to submit to the fact that they were done. And I'm not saying that that was all built at training camp. I'm not saying that that is the entire reason. But it all started there. And yeah. I really think Kansas City, especially if I'm Kansas City's ownership, if I'm Clark Hunt, if I'm Andy Reid, if I'm the coach, if I'm Brett Veach, if I'm anybody, if I'm, you know, Donovan, if I'm anybody in that building that has all that sway and thought going into what the Chiefs are going to do next year, I don't know that I really want to change anything. Yeah. I don't want to change where I went to training camp. I just won the Super Bowl. I just gave us, yeah, if I'm Clark Hunt, I had to, you know, come to Kansas City and then drive an hour up to St. Joe and give a speech to my team about going to the Super Bowl because, you know, you want to go there because that's, you know, you want to win the trophy for your dad that's named after your dad. That was an iconic speech.
Yeah.
I love what Clark Hunt said there. And I don't want to, and that's a small part of it, but I don't know that you really want to change anything. I mean, obviously the team is going to change just because it does every year, but why change things when they're working?
Well, and at the same time, I know there's a lot of teams that feel that way, and sometimes they get stale. And you see a lot of teams that kind of fall apart the next season. They make assumptions about next year's group versus last year's group, that kind of thing. So a little bit of stimulus, I think, something to kick them in the pants, something that's a little bit different, I think will help. Especially given we're going to see a lot of turnover, and man, it's going to be interesting, folks. We're going to have you covered all the way around as we go through.
I have to ask a question. And you and I haven't really talked about this at all. So I have to ask a question, and I know we're talking about Kansas City and we should focus on that, but are you going to miss Philip Rivers?
I don't know that he's gone is the thing.
Are you gonna miss Derek Carr? Because it sure sounds like he could be gone too.
Yeah, yeah. But I think both of them end up in the league again. You know, so maybe we'll see them once a year instead of twice. Phillip in Indy, I think, is really interesting.
Yep.
I think T.Y. is probably doing backflips to see if they can pull that off. But I don't know.
No, I don't know. Phillip Rivers doesn't throw a good deep ball, and that's T.Y.'s bread and butter. I've never been impressed by Phillip throwing down the field, but
impressed, no, but I think he's better than Jacoby, no offense.
Well, no, I agree with that. And the Colts aren't going to be able to draft a good signal caller, so I get that. But the real interesting one is Derek Carr in Oakland, because it sounds like Oakland wants to go after Tom Brady. Please, 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 please make that happen.
Yeah, I think that would be very interesting. And, you know, it gets him one step closer to Los Angeles, which I think is his ultimate goal. So that said, folks, we're going to go through a bunch. We got to talk Sammy Watkins yet. We got to talk about this cornerback group. There's tons coming. As free agency draws closer, the franchise tag deadline is coming. We're going to have that for you as well. We are back. We're going to figure out a schedule, and we'll have more content for you all offseason long. Make sure you're checking out Chiefs Digest, where Matt is working his tail off, and we will have more for you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to us today, and we'll hit you then.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.